Always fun to have a good mystery to read while you're on vacation or maybe just enjoying that summer weather. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. We're going to turn to another author now, Victoria Houston, back with us. She is the author of the Loon Lake Mystery Series, and her latest book is called Dead Firefly, and it's available right now. So, have you read her Loon Lake Mystery Series, Victoria's? Would you like to know about her process for writing? What do you think about the books? What elements do you like in a good mystery? We'd love to hear from you, so I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email to ideas@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Victoria Houston with us by phone. Thank you for taking time to be with us today, Victoria.
Oh, it's great to be here, Larry. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I thought I was going to see you a few weeks back when I talked to the Science on Tap group in Minocqua, but you were nowhere to be found in the audience.
I know, it broke my heart, but I have to say I was out taking care of a 14-month-old granddaughter in Williamstown, Massachusetts. So it was really tough getting in that night.
I guess it would have been. Well, you have a new publisher. You've got Gallery Books.
They are a division of Simon & Schuster. And Simon & Schuster acquired the Adams Media from F&W Publishing. And so all of a sudden I had a new publisher and a new editor and a new publicist, and these are wonderful people. I've been out, I've met them, and I can't say enough good things, although I have to say the group I left was excellent as well. So
I know you enjoyed working with your editor from the other group, so I'm glad to hear that you've enjoyed working with this new group. Well, for those who haven't read one of your Loon Lake books, now I've read all of them. I think there might have been one that I missed. I didn't get a copy of it.
Well, I'm pretty impressed because that's almost as much work as writing them.
Well, they're always fun to read, for sure.
Thank you.
Give us a little background on the location and the main characters for those who aren't familiar with the Loon Lake Mystery Series.
Well, they're set in the Northwoods of Wisconsin. In the town of Loon Lake, and someone has pointed out to me that there are 14 Loon Lakes in Wisconsin, but mine happens to be like Brigadoon. It sort of hovers overhead, and it's got doses of Rhinelander, Minocqua, Three Lakes, Eagle River, and I consider it to be located south of Land O'Lakes, north of Wausau, to the east of Park Falls, and west of the Goodman-Crandon area, if that's all.
And the characters.
Yeah. And my three characters who recur in all the books, we have Doc Osborne, who's a retired dentist. And he has a special interest in dental forensics, which is known as odontology. So that's very helpful because he met a fly fishing instructor who turned out to be a woman. He thought he was having lessons with a guy named Lou, and it turned out to be a woman named Lou, who's also the chief of police for Loon Lake. And then Doc's next-door neighbor, who lives in a trailer house painted to look like a large green muskie, is a 32-year-old fishing guide, Ray Pratt. And Ray is quite attractive physically, but has a very bad habit of telling politically incorrect jokes. But he's an excellent musky fisherman. So the stories are laced with fly fishing as well as the kind of bait fishing for musky, walleye, bass, that kind of thing. Because where I grew up here in Rhinelander, that's the culture. That's the culture I grew up in. And my dad was a dentist. My grandpa was a dentist. My uncle was a dentist. And I worked in the dental office as a teenager. And I'll say one last thing about it. My father instructed us, and I'm the oldest of eight, that the reason one practices dentistry is so you can afford to fish.
Ah. That's a good way to look at it.
And a long time ago, Larry, since you read so many of the books, many years ago, as a sort of a result of my previous career in book and newspaper publishing, and I worked with a lot of cartoonists like Gary Trudeau with Doonesbury, Gary Larson, who did The Far Side, Calvin and Hobbes, those cartoonists made an important decision not to age their characters. And so I have made that decision. So wherever, you know, you pick up the books, and you can start anywhere in the series. You don't have to read earlier stories. But my characters remain the same ages. But life changes around them, but they don't get older.
I kind of like that, too. I was wishing that for myself, to be perfectly
honest. Same here. Same here.
Oh, man. Phyllis in Clark County has something for us. Let's go there. Phyllis, hi. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Listen, Victoria, I've read most of your books, perhaps not the last one. I love your characters. I grew up in a small town, culture being agricultural. But your small town is like my small town, and it always makes me smile because I meet people like that where I live. Also, because I work public sector, it always makes me chuckle when the sheriff reaches out to get something done, you know, from the state lab system or from the coroner or whatever, and she knows just who to go to get the job done and whom she should go around. And that's
right.
Something that public sectors have to learn early on.
Right. I know. Isn't that funny? Well, Phyllis, I'm so glad you enjoyed the books. That's wonderful.
And I really appreciate your call, Phyllis. Thank you so much for calling. Well, you know, there is, you know, I grew up in a rural area, about a small town nearby, and went to school in that small town for some of my years of grade school. And she's right. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it makes me feel good because I think she's right, too. I mean, everyone in my book, even the bad guys, I think I've said this before. One of my favorite writers, Willa Cather, is quoted as saying, writers write from the memories they have from before the age of 13. And for me, that's so true, that these characters are distilled from memories from my childhood. And, you know, high school years, too, at this point. But, life doesn't really change much here. So,
I like the fact in your books that you could pick up, I mean, things change. I mean, Llewellyn Ferris and Doc Osborne, you know, get together at some point. But you could still pick up the book, any of the books, and read them out of order and not be alarmed.
Well, and not only that, I really knocked myself out that I put in enough sort of brief mention of elements in their lives that right away it'll bring the reader up to date with the kinds of pressures they may have lived with, the kind of disappointments they may have had, things that just really fill out enough of the character that they understand, but not so much that it's repetitive of what you see earlier in other books.
Yeah, Louise Penny is another author of mine that I like a lot, a Canadian mystery writer. She
sure.
has the Inspector Gamache series. And hers, I started reading hers out of order, and then I went back and started at the beginning just because there were too many spoilers in the later books. If you read them out of order, it would be a problem. But with yours, the way you put them together, that is not a big issue. Do you like Louise Penny, by the way?
I do like Louise Penny. I've read two. I have this really difficult rule, which is when I'm writing a mystery, I don't read mysteries. And since I'm writing a mystery 9 months of the year, that gives me 3 months to read. And that includes Christmas time, so you're busy shopping and baking. Yeah, I've read two of Louise Penny's and like her very much, and I think she draws a wonderful picture of that sort of secret town, isn't it, in the Quebec area?
Yeah, Three Pines, yeah, in the Quebec area. So there's some things that are similar in your writing and hers. Victoria Houston, our guest today, we're going to take a quick look at the news, weather, and then we'll be back with Victoria to talk more about her latest book, Dead Firefly, and take your questions. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hey, it's Author Day on the show. We started with Kerry Griffith talking about his book, Gunflint Burning, Fire in the Boundary Waters. And now we've turned our attention to a murder mystery with our guest, Victoria Houston, back with us once again. She's the author of the Loon Lake Mystery Series. The latest book that she has out, just out, I read it a couple of weeks ago. It's called Dead Firefly, and it's available right now, of course. So what would you like to know maybe about Victoria's process for writing, or what elements do you like in a good mystery? Love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a comment about, maybe you've read her other books in the Loon Lake Mystery Series and want to make a comment. I hope you'll join in. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Love to hear from you. Victoria, why'd you pick Dead Firefly for this book title?
Well, I always, ever since the fourth book in the series, and of course this is the 18th, I have chosen the names of either trout flies or musky lures for my titles.
Yep.
So the firefly is a trout fly, and I made that choice because when I did my first book, the title I had for it, Dead Angler, is the one the publisher went with. But every time I turned in each of the next three, they retitled the books, one to Dead Creek, one to Dead Water, and all I could think of was, these people live in New York and they don't get a lot of fresh air, and if I'm not careful, they're going to continue with Dead, and it'll be Dead Duck. So that's where I decided to use either trout flies or musky lures. And I have a lot of fun picking out the title. And in fact, I have to have the title before I can start the book.
Is that right?
Yeah. So the firefly is a popular trout fly for some people. Yeah.
Well, you have a review on your website from Alfred Hitchcock's Mystery Magazine that says this book is Murder, She Wrote meets Fargo.
That was funny.
Yeah, you agree with that?
I'm okay with it until we get to the wood chipper. But I will tell you, when in my second husband was an investigative reporter, and we were living out in Connecticut, where there was an actual horrible murder where a pilot got tired of his wife and he made the mistake on Christmas Eve of disposing of her on a riverbank along the Farmington River just as the moon came out and some people going across the bridge saw this happening. He was running the wood chipper, and their medical examiner ultimately identified her through a sliver of her little fingernail. Well, that's definitely Fargo right there. And so far, I've pretty much avoided the use of wood chippers in my books because, you know, I think it's already been used once. So what the heck? Let's go for something else.
Yeah. Pat in Duluth, Minnesota has something for us. Let's go to Pat. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'd like to ask your author, what is her writing schedule like? How does she manage to sit and get the pen to paper? What's her schedule? What's her space like? Just those general questions. And thank you so much for this program.
Yeah, thanks, Pat, for calling.
Sure. Well, I have two spaces, one for summer, one for winter. Summer, I work out at my cottage, which part of which was built in 1894, and it's small, 500 square feet of heaven, and I look out at the lake, which is the lake I grew up on, and I write 80% of the book out there. The other I write in town, in Rhinelander, and I live in an old Victorian house, and again, it's just kind of a neat old space. And what I do is, first thing in the morning, consume one large pot of coffee, and then sit down and I work for 2 hours. And every day when I work, I go back to work writing that I have done 3 or 4 days earlier and start there, because I constantly rewrite as I go along, and then I push the story ahead. And I can do that for 2 hours, but more than that, you get a certain kind of fatigue and you just don't do very good work. Now, the result is two things. I spend later in the day maybe doing research, doing follow-up on some ideas. I do a tremendous amount of newspaper reading. I get the daily print, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and I read the Washington Post online, along with local papers. And a lot of my ideas come out of those news stories. But the key thing that happens when I finish a book is, because I've been rewriting all along, my manuscript is my manuscript. It's not the first draft. It is the draft that goes to the editor.
And it really is. I mean, you've been redrafting as you go along, so.
I have. Probably 8 or 9 times for every small section.
That's a lot of times to go back.
But, you know, and I tell people, if you do this 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, you would be surprised. After 9 months, you've got a book. Now, you know, I'm not writing a 600-page book, but then I'm not reading 600-page books either.
Victoria Houston, our guest today, her book, her latest in the Loon Lake Mystery Series, Dead Firefly. Call in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Give a call. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Well, maybe talk about the basic, before we go back to the phones, talk about the basic story of Dead Firefly.
Well, the interesting thing about the story is there are two elements in it that actually come out of real life experience, because people like to say, where do you get your ideas? Well, sometimes it's, you know, a conversation I've overheard. Sometimes it's a news story I've seen. But in this case, in one element is a man who is convinced that his wife and his boss are trying to kill him. Well, without naming names, let me just say I was doing an investigative piece years ago in a state that I won't name, when I was covering a candidate for the U.S. Senate who, as it turns out, had made up everything about himself, including hiding the fact he had a wife and 3 children. But he had a big job in a big city, and people were sort of in awe of this man. And because I was working on the article for, at the time, a prominent city magazine, someone found out about it and told this one individual, who rang my doorbell one day and asked if he could talk to me, and said to me, this man was having an affair with my visitor's wife, and they had tried to kill him. So what do you do with that? Well, 30 years later, you work it into a murder mystery. Now, let me say the candidate did not get elected, because we were able, between myself and the local newspaper, we were able to expose the very significant lies that had been told. So thank goodness.
Oh.
Now, you know, the man who had rung my doorbell that day was alive, and as far as I know, he never, you know, people did not succeed in killing him. But you'll have to read my book to find out what happens to my people.
Well, the victim's name, can I give the victim's name?
Oh, sure.
The reason I want to do it is because the victim's name was Chuck. And the victim's name in your book before that was Chuck. First name was
really?
Chuck.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I wondered if that was a conscious choice or not.
No, but I think you've got a new job. copy editor.
Well,
no, but, you know, I will say one thing, which is I try to stay with names of that are common in my community. Without copying people's last names specifically, I go with names that are true to this area. And so that may be how that happened. But no, I didn't realize that, Larry.
Well, you had two different editors, so maybe that's why it didn't get caught.
I did. That's true. That's another good point. So,
well,
so now I've got another rule in life. Always have murder victims. Never read, copy your murder victim's names. Okay.
Marty and Marinette, we'll give you a chance. Thanks, Marty, for calling.
Hi, thank you for putting me on. I just want to tell Miss Houston how much I've enjoyed her books. I picked up Dead Rapunzel a couple of years ago and started then looking for all the others. And I just finished reading the whole series from beginning to end for the third time in preparation for getting the newest book, which I haven't been able to get a copy because we don't have a bookstore here anymore. But I've spent a lot of time up in the Eagle River area, and I love reading the books and trying to figure out, okay, where the characters are going in relation to the different towns around there. And I've just really enjoyed so many hours of reading the books, and just thank you very much.
Oh,
well,
Marty.
I'm glad you've enjoyed them. And when I write, I also will have specific locations in mind, but I do adjust those so that my characters can get to those locations without, like if in real life, you would never be able to get from here to there within, you know, 30 minutes. So don't take those locations too literally. But I'm very flattered you've enjoyed all the books. Thank you very much.
And Marty doesn't have a bookstore, unfortunately, anymore in Marinette. But there are, you can order online, or hopefully a neighboring community might have a local bookstore. I always like to publicize the local bookstores because they do an awful lot for.
Thank you, Larry. And in fact, I put together a little list here before we started talking. Would you like me to run through it real fast?
Sure, why not?
Well, Yankee Bookstore in Wausau, and there's Barnes & Noble there, too. The Lake House up in Manitowish Waters, if you're up north. Mystery to Me, if you're in Madison. Reader's Realm, which is over in Montello. There's a new bookstore in Minocqua. It's in the location where the Book World used to be. And, of course, there's Amazon. So, whatever works for you. But it's too bad we've lost Book World, but we have all these other good bookstores, too.
Yeah.
So.
Marty, thanks again for calling. Let's go to Wayne in Marshfield. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Wayne.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I'm a blind reader. I've used the National Library Service for years, and they pick the books for me. I have some preferences that the library has, but they've sent me a couple of the Loon Lake Mysteries, and I'm wondering if most of them are being recorded, and thank you to Victoria for giving permission for that.
Oh, definitely. The first 14 are available as audiobooks, and I'm currently trying to persuade my publisher to bring the most recent 4 into audio format, too. It gets to be a little bit of a struggle, Wayne, because it's a different business model. So at the risk of boring you, Let me just say we're working on it. They've got the rights. I'm happy to give them the rights to do it. And many people enjoy those audio books, but especially people who have sight issues. So thank you for mentioning it. It just reinforces my continuing to pester them.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne. I appreciate it very much. Josiah and Nina, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Josiah.
Hi. I just wanted to say that the title of Dead Firefly is kind of funny to me because I watched this show called The Green Arrow, and in this one episode, there is fireflies are called, they're called fireflies, but they're firefighters, and it's like a dead fighter fire, and the last program was about a wildfire, which I thought was kind of funny.
Okay.
Yeah, so interesting coincidence. Yeah.
Thanks, Josiah. Appreciate it. Well, let's turn to Jerry and Spooner. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I just wanted to tell Victoria I've gone through the entire series from Dead Insider all the way up, and I'm now reading Dead Firefly about two chapters in, so don't spill a bean. time with Victoria's books have been in my hunting blinds, deer hunting. I've sat down on the edge of trout streams because I carried my Kindle with me, and caught up on some reading along there. Deer hunting in the middle of the winter, I always make sure that sometime or another I have a Victoria Houston book, and I am sorry I missed you when you were in Spooner last week.
Oh,
well, it's nice to hear you're reading them, and boy, what a perfect setting. You're very lucky. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it very much, Jerry. And you have, I do want to mention before we run, you know, we still got some time here, but before we run out of it, there's some speaking events and book signings, some at some of the places that you mentioned earlier, but I know July 12th, you're at the Land O'Lakes Public Library, if I'm not mistaken, at 1 o'clock?
Yes, yes. And if people go to my website, which is victoriahouston.com, they'll see the schedule there. But, yep, I'll be in Land O'Lakes. Eventually, I'll be at Mystery to Me. I'll be in Cumberland. And
July 19th in Cumberland.
Mm-hmm.
And the 20th, you're going to be at Mystery to Me on Monroe Street in Madison. And the 21st, East Montello Street in Montello, Wisconsin at 11 a.m. From 11 to 1. And July 30th, Once Upon a Crime Bookstore in Minneapolis. So,
yes, and that's a neat little bookstore for people who love mysteries. She has a wonderful collection of rare and old mysteries, just, you know, for people who like to collect. It's quite an interesting place.
Do you, do you enjoy these? Are they fun to visit, to go to these book events and signings? And I imagine you read a little bit, too.
You know, Larry, I never read.
Never.
I kind of feel like, you know, that's for the people who have the book. What I do is usually give a talk, and it's kind of about the process. It's called The Three Major Life Mistakes I've Made, Not Counting My Ex-Husbands, that forced me to write these fishing mysteries. So in some of the locations, I give a talk, and otherwise at the bookstores, very often it's, you know, just sitting and chatting with people who come in who have questions. If I've been there several times before, we usually do an author question and answer. And I'll also be up at the Winchester Library, and I think that's in August. So,
well, I tell you what, those are usually, sometimes authors say, well, they're most of the time they're fun, but one time I was there and there were only one person there or something. But
you know, you can get into that if you want to. But I've been in this book business for years, and if the weather's bad, you'll get lots of people. If the weather is great, you won't get so many. They'll be out enjoying the lake. But you know what? They've still heard about your book. They're still going to be thinking about it. So I never mind if there's two people or if there's 200.
Have you ever considered starting a new series or maybe spinning off a character from what you've got?
I haven't. You're about the 14th person who's asked me that. And I give it some thought, but the truth is I really enjoy my characters. It's like, in a funny way, they are a structure for me, and it allows me to think about different storylines, not unlike, you know, weaving a rug of some kind. And so they're like my go-to points, and from there I can extrapolate.
Well, I do like the characters, and I guess that's probably, I mean, if you like the characters, you're always going to want to go back and see what's happening to them next.
Well, we hope so, and I hope I've made them complex enough that you never know if they're going to do the right thing or the wrong thing.
And in this one, I did want to mention one other aspect that was interesting to me about this book in our last minute here was this stealing of birch trees.
Yes, and that is happening. Now, that's the kind of article that I found in the Wall Street Journal. Isn't that interesting? It's happening definitely in Minnesota, and I would say a little more in northwestern Wisconsin. But it is a very real issue. So every time you're in one of those wonderful little gift shops and you see that cute little log with the candle in it, think about how it might have gotten there.
Might have been stolen from somebody's property.
From someone's property, absolutely.
So I thought that was an interesting sort of part of your book. And then also the New Zealand angle. I'd like to go fish for some trout over in New Zealand after reading about that.
And they really are that big, aren't? Isn't that something? I've been there, and those are gorgeous rivers. Beautiful country.
Well, Victoria, it's always a pleasure. Look forward to your next book, and look forward to your next visit. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry. And next time you're up at Science on Tap, I will be there.
All right.
I will be in your audience. Thank you.
Victoria Houston, author of the Loon Lake Mystery Series, including the most recent, Dead Firefly. Always fun to talk with her. And I hope you enjoyed listening. Tomorrow on Garden Talk, we'll take a look at woody ornamentals, trees, shrubs, evergreens, and vines with extension specialist Laura Jull. Join us for that. Stay listening. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network.